the hottest talk radio show out. The Conversation with your host, Clark Garrison, author of Survive the Next 365 and creator of The Phoenix Effect. The Conversation featuring singers, actors, authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and much more. Reaching deep into local and global communities, teaching individuals and transforming minds and spirits. So join Clark Garrison live Sundays at 4 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. And now, here's your host, Clark Garrison.
Greetings and welcome to Conversation with Clark Garrison. I am your host, Clark Garrison, of course. Hey, we're broadcasting to you live from Atlanta, GA, as always. By the way, this show is a thought-provoking exploration into the quest of artistic expression that both reaffirms priorities and opens new possibilities. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, by the way, if you're listening via the internet and you'd like to ask a question of our panel or guest today, the number to dial is 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078. Be sure to hit the number one button and we will come right to you. The chat room is open, so feel free to hang out there. Mi casa es su casa. Hey, big ups to Dane Reed Media for producing my drop. You can follow our journey on Twitter at Survive365 or hit me up on Facebook at Clark Garrison. Very simple. Hey, March 4th, Why Not Now ATL, featuring myself and Michael McFadden, host of Blog Talk Radio's dynamic number one show, Real Talk with Michael McFadden, hosted by actress Tammy McGarrett from 2 to 5 p.m. at Terry Vaughn's Joint, the Actors. Oh, the Green Room Actors Lounge, that's in Buckhead off of Bennett Street. I don't remember. Y'all know where Frank Ski's restaurant is, right next to it. Hey, get your tickets right now, only $10. Be 15 at the door. Save a little bit. Hey, come on out and hang out with us. We're going to have a very positive experience. We're going to do some, it's really more in a format of conversation, you know. By the way, the event is host is promoted and sponsored by Millennium Soul Music Group, Xavier Lewis and the boys, and also L&B Tax Services. So come on out, you can get your tickets right here on the show if you want, or you can go to Facebook, look up Why Not Now, you see all the information, or go to evite.com and type in Why Not Now. Last but not least, you can go to www.michaelmcfadden.com. MCFADDEN.com. And on its homepage, you'll see information on that. Just hit me up. I'll make sure you get in. Today, on Conversation with Clark, Gail, and Brian, we've got a pretty full show for you. Hey, I know you guys remember the smooth R&B group from the late 80s and early 90s called Today. Well, hanging out today, no pun intended, with my co-host Gail Smith-Harris is Big Bub. Y'all remember the lead singer of the group Today? You, him or me? Remember him? Do you want him? Do you want me? Yeah, I'm not the singer of the show, obviously, but y'all remember that song. Well, Gail is going to talk with him on his current musical endeavors and more. Also, speaker, author, and syndicated columnist, Mr. Jack A. Daniels joins us today. How to stay out of your own way is going to be the topic. In the house today, author Sabrina A. Hunter and her book Skeletons in the Closet joins this literary diva later on the show. And back by popular demand, Miss Dawn Nicole. But this time, instead of talking about her writing, we're going to listen to her music. Yes, she's very multi-talented. And, of course, in the next hour from the basement to the boardroom with Brian Joubert. He'll be up as always. But first, a very good friend and business owner, Miss Candace Phillips, dropped by to talk about, I don't know, we're going to talk about something, all this and more. Hey, we'll be right back after this song. We'll talk to you later. This is Conversation with Clark. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Conversations with Clark, Gail, and Brian. We've got a full show, as I said, so let's jump right into it. I hope you don't mind. Hey, if you follow this show long, you know I love to bring real-life entrepreneur business owners on the show to give you real-life info. My first guest is just that. She's the owner of Candy Shop Hair Salon right here in Hot Atlanta in the Buckhead. Alpharetta area, we'll find out. Well, I know it's in northern Buckhead, Georgia. Please welcome, without further ado, Miss Candace Phillips in the house. Candace, what's going on?
Not much. How are you, Clark? Thank you for having me on your show today.
It's always, always a pleasure to have an entrepreneur on the show, somebody who's actually doing it and not just talking about it because it inspires others. So, man, hats off to you for creating such a influential business, and I know it wasn't easy. We're going to talk a little bit about how you did all that. And by the way, thank you for coming on the show in spite of not feeling your number one best.
No, of course. Thank you for having me. Anything to come for you, buddy.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, I normally don't do this because, I'm a FAMU boy in the MEAC, but shout out to Grambling State for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Grambling State University.
Yeah, I think I remember them. I remember them from somewhere. Anyway, I'm just joking.
Only the best of the best.
Hey, Candace, being a business owner is a tough racket. When did you learn your mental toughness, and how did you get started with all of this?
Let's see. Let me try to sum it up. My mental toughness, of course, I learned from my parents, my mother and my father, both of them. My father and my mother instilled a lot of values in my brothers and me and my mother being a math teacher, just really staying on me and supporting me and my father the same way. He's an economist, same way. They both instilled a lot of values in me and staying strong and following my dreams and never taking no for an answer, never being able to fall to the backseat, always trying to go for the top, shooting for the stars. Even if you don't make it to the number one spot, you always aim for that goal and just stand on that path. And also with the hair industry, I had a young lady back in Michigan where I'm from. Her name is Terry Nelson. She really, really stayed on me and mentored me as far as hair and business to follow the goals that I want to and never give up and just keep following what I want to do and just, again, just never taking no for an answer. So I kind of believe in that concept.
Man, you know, everywhere I go when I talk to business owners, you guys sound alike. You just don't take no for an answer. And I know it sounds easy, and it's easy to write on the chalkboard, but it's a little hard sometimes at practical application out there in the field, huh?
Right, it is. It can be sometimes, but that's where you have to stay strong, and, you know, you have to have faith and believe in yourself and just continue down that path. If you know what you want to do and you have that goal, you'll go there and you have to believe it in order to achieve it, you know. One of my favorite models comes from John Paul DeJoria from John Paul Mitchell Systems, which is a hair company I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with, and I'm also a national educator for. And this is one thing that I believe by, and he says success with people do things that unsuccessful people won't. And I think from that I get is having fear. When you fear, that's when you fail. So you can't if you follow the belief in fearing things and not believing, then you're going to fail. But if you believe and you do things that you see others aren't doing, I try to follow successful people and listen to what they're doing because they're obviously successful for a reason. So that's my number one mantra right there.
Wow, Kate Candace, that is powerful information. I always say, you know, listen, where the majority of people are going and doing, do the very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you stay out of mediocrity
exactly.
And at average. So sound advice. I want to ask you this. What did you want to be when you grew up?
What did I want to be?
Yeah, what did you want to be when you grew up, if you can go back that far and remember?
Oh, I've always wanted to be a hairstylist. If I wasn't doing hair, I'd probably be an anthropologist. So I love history, I love culture, and I just love making people beautiful. I mean, I've been doing hair since as far back as I can remember. Three, 4 years old, I used to play my mother's hair, my grandmother's hair, anyone's hair that would allow me to touch them, I would stay in their hair. And I always knew I was never that person to work for somebody. I've never been a worker bee. I've always had to be the one in charge. So but I also know that you have to start from the bottom and work your way to the top. So that's what I did. I started off as a shampoo assistant and worked my way always up to a business owner.
Now let me ask you this. What was the hardest thing about getting started in all of this?
I probably would say the hardest thing is having the right guidance. Just having the proper guidance and knowing exactly the correct people to guide you along the way, because I don't care what anybody says, you can never do it by yourself. You always have to have someone there that you can follow, that can lead you and that can guide you. And just finding the right mentors and doing that. It was kind of hard trying to find the right ones to do that, but I found them. I have a lot of great mentors in the hair industry and out of the hair industry as well. So I've got a lot of great people in my circle. So now that I have them, I think that was probably the hardest thing. And learning how to cut and let things go that aren't positive in your life as well, on a personal and business level.
That is a huge... say that one more time, please, because I want to hear everybody's...
It's learning when to cut things and people loose out of your life, personally and business-wise, because I don't care what anyone says, they both affect each other. So once you cut those negative attributes out of your life, life tends to flow a lot easier. And not being afraid to let those things go.
Right, right. That is key. That is key. Well, thank you for saying that. Hey, for any of the women or men out there contemplating on starting their own salons, barbershops, what have you, can you give like maybe one, maybe two nuggets that they can take away, or that's, you know, just some advice on how to get off the board and get started?
I would say number one, which is something, honestly, believe it or not, I didn't have totally implemented, is to make sure you have a plan. My father told me this a long time ago, even though sometimes as children we don't listen to our parents, but if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So you definitely need to have a plan in hand. And your plan can change along the way, but definitely have a plan and a goal so that you know where you're going to. That would be my number one goal. And the number two thing I would say is, and it kind of all falls into each other, is also not being afraid, again, to let things go that you don't need. They go hand in hand to me. You know, if you're planning for something, but you see along the way that plan isn't working in that area, then let that go and keep moving to the next step that's going to get you that much closer to your goal that you're trying to achieve.
Sound advice right from, by the horse's mouth, and not from just me, because, you know, they hear me every week say all this stuff. So I'm glad you said it. And this is somebody who's actually doing it again, ladies and gentlemen, not talking about it on the sideline. Hey, what's unique about the candy shop for those who are in the metro Atlanta area and really need to step their hair game up a little bit?
Well, what's unique about it is that actually I'm a private studio. So you get the private one-on-one attention from your stylist. I have a little studio, one chair, one bowl. I also have, I'm real personable with my clients. and that's what they love, because I actually am coming from having a really big salon downsized, and my clients, actually, they love it a lot more. Now it's just me, because I used to have two or three assistants working on people at a time, and my clients love the fact that it's just me and them now on their own, whereas sometimes you get into the higher-end salons, and we're all guilty of it. We do. We usually have two or three assistants. You usually don't see the actual hairstylist until you're basically done with the end of your services. And I'm finding that a lot of my clients, new and old, and even returning clients, they really, really love the one-on-one attention that they get from me now.
Powerful. Powerful. Let me ask you this before we let you go. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to salon owner of the Candy Shop right here in Buckhead, Ms. Candace Phillips. My last question is, how are we going, you know, this is crazy. I said I got to throw one of these in at you. How are we going to get the women off the creamy crack, again?
How to get them off
what
the creamy crack.
What are we going to do?
Well, actually, if I must shamelessly promote myself, one of the things about creamy crack is I actually still apply it to people, but it's understood. Product knowledge is a big, big deal. I am very into my products. I stick with one company, maybe two that I use, but I know what I'm using. I explain to my clients the benefits and the detriments of creamy crack versus going natural. My hair is natural as well. I've learned a long time ago not necessarily to try to get people off the creamy crack, but just giving them the information. Information is powerful. Once people understand what the benefits are of not having the creamy crack in their hair versus going on natural, and I'm a colorist. I love to color. And for people who like to color, you can do a lot more with your hair color when you don't have those extra chemicals in your hair. I also have another system that I use that's completely natural. It's amino acids, which is the building blocks of the hair. It's called Great Hair System. It's a great alternative for people growing out their relaxers and who want to maintain their natural texture, because it softens the curls, it strengthens the hair, and it repairs the hair. But when you blow the hair straight, it gives you the look of relaxed hair. And you sweat and the hair stays straight, but then when you want to go back to wearing your natural twist and your blowout, you still are able to achieve that without the hair ever going straight again. So it protects the hair, strengthens the hair, and gives the hair a lot of shine and body, regardless of how you wear it. So that's one of my alternatives right now. And I do, have a lot of clients taking advantage of them. They absolutely love that. So there's alternatives out there that are chemical-free and formaldehyde-free.
Well, let's see, can we get some more people taking advantage of that? Do me a favor. Go ahead and let everybody know how to reach out to you for appointments, consultations,
okay.
Advice, you name it, so that they can start decreasing their love and lust for the creamy crack. And also people who are already on natural hair care systems and things of that nature. So I'll be quiet and let you get that information.
Hi, everyone. I'm Candace Phillips. The best way to contact me is through my website, Candy Shop Hair Studio, www.candyshophairstudio.com. Spell it CandySHOPPE hairstudio.com. Again, CandySHOPPE hairstudio.com. My salon's number is 404-981-2641, 404-981-2641. And you can also, in this computerized world that we live in now, you can also book your appointments online through my website as well. So, and that's a really cool feature, and it also sends you out email and text confirmations for your appointments.
Wow. Powerful stuff from a powerful woman. Candace, thank you so much for hanging out with me on the conversation. It's a pleasure. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while, so.
No. Yes. Thank you, and I'll come on anytime you want me to come on again. It was great.
Oh, man, thank you. We got to get you live at the coffee lot when we shoot down there on Sunday. So I'll be talking to you soon. But
oh,
thank
yes,
you
definitely.
For some rest.
Thank you. I
take
sure
care,
will.
Okay?
Thank you. You guys have a great day. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
Candace Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, at the Candy Shop here in Buckhead, Metro Atlanta. Holler at her. Excellent stylist, excellent salon owner, and as you can tell, powerful businesswoman. Hey, listen, don't go anywhere. Don't touch that mouse in 30 seconds. When we come back, wow, one of the highest, most successful literary divas I knew of, Ms. Sabrina A. Hunter, will be in the house. This is Conversation. We'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Hello, America. It's me, Charmaine, the author of the book, The Bait to Get You Mate. Are you tired of being alone? Are you tired of men not approaching you? And just tired of not choosing the right mate? Well, I'm here to help. Pick up my book, The Bait to Get Your Mate, and learn how to be a winner in love. Learn who you are in a relationship, how to choose the right mate, and how to get them to commit without saying a word. Go to thebaittogetyourmate.com and pick up your copy today and become a winner in love.
Hey, we are back. Real quick, let's move right ahead. So I want to make sure we get all the time we can. This next guest is a publisher and author, here today to talk about her literary journey and her book, Skeletons in the Closet. Please welcome to the show, Miss Sabrina A. Hunter in the house. What's going on, homegirl?
Hey, how's everything going?
Everything is everything. Thank you, homie, for hanging out with us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Let's jump right in. I know I've got a couple. Well, first, before I start, big ups to a mutual friend of ours who kind of connected me and made me aware of you in the first place, Mr. J.M. Benjamin himself, legendary author and publisher in his own right. So I wanted to thank you. Shout out to him. Now, we're both born in Los Angeles, California, but however, what was life like in DeRidder, Louisiana? You know, I got to ask you that.
it's pronounced DeRidder, but it's the smallest town. It's the smallest, cutest little town where there's one major street and it's a highway, and it's the only street in the whole town that has stoplights. So that'll give you a little bit of a description. There's probably about 10,000 people in the whole city limit. It's small, but it was nice. It was fun to live there as a child, you know, and be out in the country, and you know, that probably was the best thing of that experience.
Now you were introduced at an early age to writing by your grandmother, as I read. Yet I also read it was a bad relationship that turned writing that would lead to this book. Writing became your therapy. Is that a safe thing to say?
Well, writing has actually always been a form of therapy for me. Ever since I was a child, I've always written short stories or, you know, poetry and songs. Just as my creative outlet, for therapeutic reasons, that's just always been something that I've done.
Well, can you hear me? Oh, I heard something in the background to make sure that you were still there. Okay, so.
No, I'm still here.
Well, let me go off. I like to go off on tangents here on the conversation. What's your favorite restaurant?
My favorite restaurant?
Yes, ma'am.
My favorite restaurant, I guess, is right now. It may be Eddie V's in Houston, Texas.
Okay, and what's your favorite thing?
Mainly because I love their crab cakes.
you answered my second question. Was what was your favorite thing to eat? There's some crab cakes. All right, we got that out there. We know a little bit more about you now.
Crab and tacos that's my favorite thing to eat, though, in the world. I love tacos.
Well hopefully, crab and tacos, love it. Just like a true Texan. Hey, let's talk about Skeletons in the Closet. Who is Larissa Fontaine, and is there any of you in Larissa?
You know, it's funny because every time it happens more often than not that I'll get a reader who will start to read the book, and immediately they associate me to the character Larissa Fontaine. And there is a lot of Larissa in Sabrina and interchangeability. there's a lot of interchangeability between me and the character, but Larissa Fontaine is her own person. she's a different person, and she's gone through different experiences than Sabrina has gone through. But there is some overlap. I'll say that.
So you will admit to that. Okay. Because, you know, as I'm reading through some of the character description, and I don't know you on a personal level, but I have followed you a while. I sense that might be the case. So, you know, I'm glad we came clean with that for a live radio here. Hey, do me a favor, because I really want people to understand the complexities of Skeletons in the Closet and how well written it is and how you can get entangled in it. Can you give us a cliffhanger, something about the novel that will have folks dying to know what's going to happen next? Just a brief little segment that you might feel is a nice caveat to put the hook in the mouth.
You said for what's going to happen next or what happens in the story?
In the story. It's just anywhere. Just something that will cause a cliffhanger for folks to understand what type and style of book it is.
Well, first of all, I mean, you'll start with the title, Skeletons in the Closet. Now, everybody has a skeleton. Everybody has different skeletons. And so there's different things that the people go through in the book that are relatable to everyday people. It's reality fiction, if you will. One of the main things that the book deals with is relationship secrets and the things that some people may or may not hide from their significant other to keep things going.
How long did it take you to write the book?
It took me about a year and a half, but when I started writing, I wasn't seriously interested in pursuing publication. But probably towards the end of the process, I decided to publish.
Towards the end of the process, you decided to?
I decided to publish.
Oh, gotcha. Take matters in your own hands, in other words.
Right, exactly.
Now, I understand you're also working on the sequel, and you're also actively creating a few screenplays. You want to talk a little bit about those things?
Okay, the sequel has to deal with it continues the story of the main characters, but it goes a lot more in depth with each character. It's written in first person as opposed to Skeletons in the Closet, which was written in third person. I have that scheduled to be out this year, probably around summertime. I don't have a release date yet, but I want to have it out by this summer. And the screenplays I'm working on, one has to do with it's a movie that's going to I'm working on with a director that's out of Houston. His name is Orbit. He's traditionally done videos, music videos, but he's trying to transition into film, movies, and we're going to work together on the process because we're both transitioning. And then I have another one that I'm working on, another screenplay that I'm working on that would deal with, it's very similar to Skeletons in the Closet, but there's going to be some adaptations for the screenplay.
Wow. You're a busy bee, Ms. Hunter.
I have to be. I don't know any other way to be honest with you.
Well, I'm just happy to have you on. It's a pleasure. I know we missed a couple things, but listen, it has been well worth the wait to have you come on. And when are we going to get you out on the East Coast? That's what I want to know.
I'll be back on the East Coast in May, actually. I have a couple of things that I'm going to be working on out in D.C., Baltimore. I'll be out in May.
Well, hopefully if you do D.C., Baltimore, you will come to the ATL, you know, Hotlanta, U.S. of A., and hang out with us here. We would love to have you.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get something together for Atlanta. That's the one place that I feel I've missed. You know, I've been to a lot of places. There are some places that I do want to get to, but the one place that I feel that I have missed out on so far is Atlanta.
Sabrina, how are you going to not come to Atlanta? I know, and I'm
going to get that scheduled. I'm working on that to get that in my schedule. That's one of my first priorities as far as coming and bringing the book and a couple of tour stops to Atlanta.
Good. Well, be sure to let me know when you're coming into town, okay? Can you do that?
I will absolutely let you know.
All right. Well, we'll definitely put it down, and we'll have a welcoming committee out for you at the airport.
Okay, great.
That's how we do it in the ATL. I thought you knew.
I've been to Atlanta a couple times, but I haven't spent a lot of time in Atlanta, honestly.
Right. Okay. Well, we won't fault you for that. You'll be here in May or somewhere in thereabouts. Hey, listen, before I let you go, let everyone know how they can pick up Skeletons in the Closet. Also, how they can keep up with your journey as you kind of terse yourself through literary communities and here and fro.
You can reach me via my website, which is www.sabrinaahunter.com. I'm on Twitter, same Sabrina A. Hunter. I'm on Facebook, and you can get your copy of Skeletons in the Closet from my website. You can go to Amazon. Several of the local bookstores besides Barnes & Noble also carry Skeletons in the Closet.
Well, that's what's up. Sabrina A. Hunter, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation. We'd love to have you back anytime. Our house is your house.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's what's up. Sabrina A. Hunter, everyone. Skeletons in the Closet. Go right now and check out that book and her many more that she will have out. You can go to SabrinaAHunter.com where you can catch on Amazon, but we want you to go to her website. We like supporting people on their own platforms. Hey, 30 seconds. Check this commercial. I'll be right back. I promise, with the one and only Jack Daniels in the house. This is The Conversation. We'll be right back.
Interested in having a bigger voice in the conversation? Well, we're hooking you up with 30-second commercials during the show with our incredible low rates and over 8 shows a month. So come on in and join the conversation with Clark Garrison and be a sponsor. Sundays 4 p.m. Eastern and Wednesday 7 p.m. Eastern. The Conversation. Now you can have a bigger voice in it.
Hey, we are back as promised, moving right along. Hey, he's a renowned psychotherapist for high-profile individuals. He's a speaker and a syndicated columnist and relationship expert, author of Man's Handbook for Choosing the Right Woman and Stay Out of Your Own Way. Please welcome to the platform, please give him the mic, Mr. Jack A. Daniels in the place. What's going on, sir?
Hey, you got it, Clark. What's going on with you, man? Thanks for having me again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Man, it's always a pleasure to have Brother J. A. Daniels on the show. You are the Jack Daniels that invented the whiskey, are you?
Now, if I was that guy, you think I'd really be sitting here having this conversation about trying to help a whole lot of people? We'd be having another conversation about how I can help people.
Yeah, you're right about that, man. It'll be a whole other dynamic, huh?
Yeah. No, actually, no relation. But I will say that, you know, I am the black label. I'm not like, you know, the other label. I'm the black label. So, yeah,
Absolutely. Please
believe that.
Absolutely. Hey, man. How'd you become a psychotherapist, brother? I got to ask you that. It's an interesting field. Not everyone goes into it, especially not a lot of African Americans do not delve into that that realm. So what got you started in it?
You know, I was actually listening to the other people that were on the show, and when they were talking about some of the history and some of the things that they've gone through, you know, mine is actually, Clark, a story of failure, and it's not something that is traditionally told, but my passion came from pain, and it was one of those things that I went through a particular situation, and I was looking and raising my hand for help, and I couldn't find anyone to help me. So what I did was I formed my own group and got together all of these people, and it went very, very well. It went so well that people were willing to pay money to come to this group. And then from there, it was like, okay, well, this is birthing something that is totally unexpected. So what I did then was I went and I tried to hone this craft or the skill that I actually had unbeknownst to me. And from there, it spawned into something that was extremely beautiful. I mean, I started writing. Someone challenged me to write a column. So I wrote a column, and I submitted it, and it got published. And then they asked me, and they said, well, can you give me another one? And I said, well, I think so, but I'm really not a writer. And they said, well, just give us another one. So I gave them another one, and they loved it, and they said, you know, we have another paper. We're going to put this in the other paper. So now all of a sudden I'm syndicated. And they said, can you give me another one? I said, I'm not a writer. And they said, well, just give me another one. And then 6 months later, all of a sudden, as a result of that, giving them another, I'm in 57 newspapers across the country with a syndicated column, which had done phenomenally well. And then the story trickles on down from there. But, you know, back to like the psychotherapist part, it is a very rare and unique thing in terms of men helping other people try to do better and be better. So especially black men, which is a whole different category. But for me, it was more about the passion. It was more about the empathy that I had for people who were really trying to discover where they are and raising their hands to say, do I really matter?
Hey, I hate to be the bearer of interesting news, sir, but you are now a writer. I think you got that one down.
Yeah, they keep trying to tell me, and actually my fifth book is coming out this May, and I'm still not convinced, so I guess I got to keep writing until I convince myself, but we shall see.
We shall see. Well, I'm glad you started the journey. I know that, and I'm sure you are. Hey, you know, we talked offline about a bunch of things, but I want to talk to you about stay out of your own way. Practical guide living on purpose. Man, powerful read. Just a topic in and of itself. Warrants some we're going to delve into it. But before I do that, my boy and friend of the show and cohort of sorts, Mr. Michael McFadden, told me to tell you what's up.
Mike, what's up, man? I see you, baby.
He's everywhere, man. Hey, before we understand how to stay out of one's own way, which you talk a lot about, talk to us how folks actually get into their own way.
Well, one of the most painful things in the world is being invisible. And I think that oftentimes, because we go through this lifestyle of trying to be this certain way or act this certain way, we put ourselves on pedestals that really we can't live up to. And I talk to people a lot about this philosophy I have of hypothesizing your own happiness. And what that means is we live in the future tense, that whole what if I get married, what if I get this promotion, what if I happen to buy this house or move to this town. And because of that future tense, we never really live in the present moments. And because we don't live in the present moments, we do ourselves a disservice by always trying to play catch up. And this whole busyness of our life is just, I mean, we're so busy to even worry about the problems that we actually have. And in terms of getting in your own way, I think it's more about you having these roadblocks that have to deal a lot with the walls that you built up, the barricades that you built up for yourself. And like I tell people all the time, the problem, until you get rid of the problems of your past or dilemmas that you've chosen not to discuss, or hiding the multiple monsters under the mask and makeup that you put on every single day, you'll forever be fugitives forging falsified illusions of faithfulness in every respect of your life. So being in your own way is one of those things that you just it happens on a daily basis. And my philosophy, which is stay out of your own way, it doesn't say get out of your own way, because if you get out of your own way, that means you can get right back in. I'm saying telling you to stay out of your own way, because the biggest enemy that you have is you. And when people start realizing that and understanding that, because, I mean, 75% of everyone that ever comes to me or steps foot in my office or goes to one of my programs or hears me at a speaking engagement or whatever the case, they all struggle with the same thing, which is, who am I and what is my purpose? Who am I and what is my purpose? It doesn't matter who it is. 75% of everyone struggles with that because we are searching for this meaning. We're all searching for this connection and something that's inside of us that says, I can do better, I can be better, and I matter. So that's what staying out of your own way is all about, and that's how a lot of us are in our own way, and my job is to help you come up with some practical strategies as to how not to do that.
Well, let's talk about a few skill sets you helped develop in this platform and program. You talk about communications, listening, and social emotional skills. Let me take that back. You say effective communication. There is a difference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's a huge difference. You know, 90%, and let's just step out over and talk about relationships for a second. 90% of all of the couples that ever come to me, couples don't have a couples problem. The couples that come to me have a communication problem. Someone is not understanding what the other person is saying or where the other person is coming from, and as a result of that, now you have this array of anger, anxiety, confusion, whatever the case, and it's just this dysfunctional element of understanding each other. So for me, trying to communicate that in a way that makes it make sense, because I think some people overcomplicate some things. In reality, it's all about helping people make sense of it in a practical way. And the thing that's been so, I don't want to say lovely about me, but the thing that's gravitated people towards me is that I'm the guy that helps you do some things on a practical level. And, I deal a lot with high-profile individuals, but, I mean, truthfully, they took me and they passed me around like a hot potato. So one person got me, and then, you know, they passed me along to their friends. So it's almost like you kind of keep it in the family. But I do talk to and deal a lot with ordinary people like yourself and myself, and which I totally enjoy. But at the same token, I think that if everyone has the elements of social-emotional skills, communication skills, and the history and the background that it takes to do better and be better, and then the tools, because, I mean, I say this with all honesty. I'm tired of, you know, so many people motivating each other, and I'm tired of people being put in that position that says, you know, we're comfortable with being motivated. I'm not a motivational speaker, Clark. I like to consider myself as a mobilization speaker, meaning that I need people to mobilize and strategize and then execute, and not just, I don't like taking people to these euphoric highs of inactivity and emotionalizing some things. You know, it's kind of like when you went to church and you heard that great sermon, and everybody's feeling good, and you come outside, and then you get into your car in the parking lot, you call your boy or your girl, and, you know, like, church was real good today. And she goes, well, I mean, what was it about? You know, what was it about? And you're like, I don't know, but, I mean, it was good. And that's that emotionalized feeling with that's leaving you kind of hanging. It talks about the problems. It talks about some of the things that are wrong, but it doesn't provide a solution or a plan as to how to move forward. I provide solutions and plans on how to move forward. That's what I do, and that's what I enjoy doing on day in, day out.
Yeah, that's where the rubber meets the road right there, sir. You know, the hype machine is cute, but it's about actually getting out there and doing something. And I'm glad that you're focusing on getting people into mobilization and actually doing the work that's needed to be done. Hey, so what you got planned for 2012, man, for the rest of this year? I know you got some big things. I know
Huge year. I'm actually on the road right now doing the National Stay Out of Your Own Way initiative, going to as many schools, middle schools, high schools, and universities as possible, talking to students about passion and purpose and what it takes to actually live your dreams and not just exist. So we're doing that and talking to as many, like I said, organizations and schools as possible. But then in addition to that, in May, I got a new book coming out. It's called I Need Hold On. Now, I need you to, like, listen and pause for this one. It's called I Need a Wife, Where Are the Real Women? I'm going to hit a bar with this one, Clark.
Wow.
Go ahead. But hey, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we always hear people talking about relationships, what a man wants and what a man needs, and then you scroll down to the bottom of it and you see who wrote the article, and it's some woman. Well, this is a book and mainly a discussion about what men really want, and the quality of women is not there. Now, the quantity is there, but what I did was we interviewed like 1,000-plus men across the country, and we talked about the quality of women and men that are ready, they're available, and they want to be married. They want to be in committed, healthy, happy, whole relationships, but can't find a great woman to do that with. So we're going on tour, 7 different cities, kicking off in Dallas, definitely be down in Houston, Atlanta, St. Louis, Charlotte, D.C., and I know I'm leaving somebody out, but anyway, look for that this summer. It's going to be coming to a city near you, and we're going to be having panel discussions talking about men and, like, what we really want. And so if women, if y'all listening right now, if you're looking for a man that says that he's ready, he's available, and you're looking to do the exact same thing, you really want to come out to this to make those connections, because that's what this is all about, making connections. And then after that, I still do like a lot of speaking across the board, and we're going to pick back up and do the Stay Out of Your Own Way live event, which entails a stage presence show, more so like a talent showcase of people that invites people to tell their stories. So we're definitely going to do that the back half of the year. And then you can always go to presspause.org. I got, like, tons of stuff going on. I mean, I got my annual cruise. I'll be doing that again. Also, I'll be doing random events throughout the Atlanta area, talking to as many groups as possible about passion, about purpose, about relationships. So, I mean, I got an action-packed year, and I can't say it enough that please tune in to what I've got going on if you're dealing with any type of angst or anxiety or connection problems or whatever the case. There's some exciting stuff, man. I mean, I'm not really looking to slow down. I'm looking to pick up the pace, but I don't know. Did I get it all in?
Man, that's what's up, man. That's what we need, man. Somebody out there fighting the fight 24/7, not just shucking and jiving. I love it, man.
Now we can't have catch me on a few television shows also that are coming out. I can't mention a couple of names, but you can always catch me, you know, doing some radio spots, some television spots, etc., and as well as me just kind of being out and about. But definitely look me up, check me up, Google me, text me, Hotmail, whatever you got to do, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of great stuff. I ain't hard to find. Jack A. Daniels, you know, just that's pretty easy.
No, you're not, man. Hey, I wish we could cover a few more things, but we will definitely have you back, man. We're going to have you on the live show on Sunday so we can put some things into order and let you talk to the people live. And I appreciate you for being on the show, man. Big thanks to that.
I appreciate you having me. Anytime, just hit me up and let me know.
That's what's up, brother. Jack A. Daniels in the house. Hey, we got Dawn Nicole sitting in the hopper. Hey, what we're going to do now, instead of going to commercial break, we're going to play one of her cuts from her newest jank. Hey, this is titled The Rising. This is Dawn Nicole on The Conversation. are back. Hey, my last guest is a very talented woman whose book, The Velvet Whisper, has been an instant success, and now she's back to discuss her musical talents. Please welcome to the show, Miss Dawn Nicole. Dawn, what's going on, lady?
Hey, that is a wonderful introduction. everything is good. Yeah, thank you. Nothing, just been busy, good stuff. Pulled in 100 different directions, but it's all good. So.
Well, you certainly have been busy. I've got to ask you, I know the answer, but people who are just tuning in may have not caught you last time was on the show as a writer, but what came first, music or writing?
Oh, wow. You know what? I will have to say writing. However, when I say writing, that's in every sense of the word. That's writing poetry, writing books, short stories, plays, and writing songs. And then the singing aspect came after that.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Okay. So it had a sense of order. It did just come in all willy-nilly.
No.
Go ahead. You got to talk to us about your current project and your current musical project. I know you kind of shelved it a little bit with music, and you went full throttle on your writing and getting out there and promoting it across the United States. But you coming back with a fury. Where did this project come from, and where did your style come from?
Wow. Well, you know what? Actually, Clark, I think you put it the best so far. You're absolutely right. I did take some time off, went on sabbatical with the music thing, and went full speed ahead with, the book, promoting the book and really just revisiting that passion. However, I think that by taking that break and stopping for a moment to collect yourself, there's something about giving yourself time in between where you can really collect your thoughts, collect that inspiration, and it has a tendency to fuel that flame even greater than trying to put out music back to back with no time to breathe. So that fury came from waiting, being patient. So.
Patience is a virtue, right? At least that's what they tell me.
Yeah, that's right. Patience is a virtue. And like I said, while I'm waiting, I have experiences happening. I'm meeting different people. I'm actually, I'm doing theater shows. And just by having all of these collective of experiences building up, it tells that story. So now I'm ready to drop that in an album form. So, yeah.
Hey, well, since we played it, talk a little bit about the cut we just listened to. Where did the name come from? What was the creative mindset behind it? And who were some of the people that helped you put that together?
Sure. So the name of the track you just played is actually the title track. It's called The Rising, which the new album coming, which will be available March 27th, is called The Rising. And I like to describe that track as very musical. I wanted to do something for the music lovers, something that was abstract and wide open. I like to describe that like an exotic sunset or an exotic sunrise, I'm sorry. And I just wanted to take it back to where the track wasn't, completely muddied up or it wasn't vocally dumped into. And back in the days when people used to do music, it was mainly about the music at one point in time. And I sort of wanted to close my album with that track because the other tracks on the album are very fierce, very hip-hop oriented, very urban, very R&B. So I wanted to sort of close with a musical treat. And the person who actually helped me put that together is a producer here in Richmond, Virginia, named Ace Element. He just sort of gives me the music and says, Dawn, you're creative. Do what you will with it. And so that was fitting for that track, in my opinion. So,
Dawn, you are creative, but you're based out of, just help us a little bit, you're based out of Virginia, right?
Yeah, well, I used to live in Atlanta 2 years ago, and because I'm in the corporate world still, I took upon a relocation package that took me here to Richmond, Virginia, but originally I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, so I kind of lived all over. I lived in California, North Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida, moved to Atlanta at 24, and then moved here to Richmond, Virginia 2 years ago.
Okay, I got to ask, how'd you like Jacksonville?
Well, I lived in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Jacksonville, Florida, so it depends on which one. Jacksonville, Florida was cool. It just rained too much for me.
Did you say it rained too much in Jacksonville?
It did. It was very humid. It was very humid. It rained a lot. But you know what? I love Jacksonville, Florida, because I think that was at a point, and that was at a place where I got to really hone my skills, both poetically, songwriting. I got to join a bunch of troops, different poetic troops and musical troops. And so I sort of, you know, really got my feet wet there. So.
Hey, did you have Jenkins Barbecue, by the way?
I sure did on plenty of occasions.
Yeah, see, folks don't know about that Jenkins Barbecue. It's
they
off the
sure
chain.
Know.
That was high school in Jacksonville.
Oh, which high school did you go to?
It's only one, Rains. It's only one, sweetie.
Oh,
it's only one.
You said it's only one. Okay.
It's only one. I'm sorry.
No,
unless
that's okay.
Unless they built some after I left. They might have built some after I left.
You need to stop. I know about that Rains and Rebalt back and forth thing. So.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say Rebalt on this show,
okay.
Though. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Hey, how's life as an indie artist for you?
You know what? Life as an indie artist has been interesting. That's the best word. And to talk about that a little bit, Clark, that is sort of why I took my sabbatical. So I started in Atlanta under the name Coffee with a K. So I used to go by K-O-F-F-E-E, Coffee. And I worked hard, and I didn't work smart. So a lot of tiring nights, you know, jumping around from producer to producer, probably too desperate, too easy to put myself in a neo-soul category. And at the time, I didn't really take a step back and read and understand the business aspect. So I was a singer and I was a spoken word artist. And I thought, well, this is all there is to it. I just need to record it and send it, you know, to Hidden Beach at the time, you know, when Jill Scott was out. And it was probably 2003 and I just moved to Atlanta. I thought, let's record, let's send it to Hidden Beach and it's a done deal. Well, clearly that's not what happened. clearly, I'm still plugging away at it. So it's been difficult. You really have to. I think my advice to everyone out there is take the time, really understand the business aspect of it. Identify where you want to go with this. You know, do you always want to remain the local neighborhood artist, or do you want to go farther? And if you do want to go farther, what measures are you willing to take to get there? You know, what are the sacrifices you're willing to make? How much of your own money are you willing to spend? So anyway, there were good times, but there were also some disappointments that made me take some time off to really educate myself. And so now I'm back with the fury. I'm ready. So.
Well, we're just excited to have you back on the show. I feel like you're a regular, so that's always a good thing because that means this is home. And before we let you go, where can we see and hear more of your music?
Absolutely. I've made it my business to make sure that you can see and hear me on musical sites such as CDBaby.com. I'm on there as Dawn Nicole Music. You can see and hear me on Reverb Nation as Dawn Nicole Music. I'm on Facebook with the Dawn Nicole fan page, iTunes, iLike. Just look me up. Have my own app, Dawn Nicole app. So I'm out there. If you just Google Dawn Nicole Music, you should find a plethora of sources out there. So definitely look me up. Check out the writing.
I'm in love. You just said plethora on our show, so I don't even know what to do now. That's top notch.
Yeah.
Dawn, thank you so much. You are a pleasure to have an interview. Your music is fantastic. Your writing is fantastic. You're just a multicultural, multi-talented young lady. And we already know you're trying to get to the ATL. Be sure to look us up so we can support you in every way when you get here, okay?
Definitely. Thank you, Clark. I appreciate the opportunity again. Thanks.
Absolutely. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Dawn Nicole in the house. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're about to turn it over. You know, my hour is over. Turning it over to my lovely co-host, Miss Gail Smith Harris. She's in the joint. Hey, guess who she's got up on her tracks? Yes, sir. Mr. Big Bub will be in the house. This is The Conversation.
everybody. Today we have a very, very special guest to rise up to you, this gentleman led one of the closest groups to come out of the 90s in the New Jack Swing era. Today they had the mega hit, Him or Me, Well, I Got My Eyes on You, and the Pokoff, which is the successful solo career recording under the name Big Buzz. His debut album had top 40 hits and one of my all-time favorite records that we're going to play for you a little bit later. And since then, he's been producing, working on sessions, and working as a background vocalist. He's worked with Mary J. Blige. He's worked with countless other artists. My special, special friend, I know as Freddie Lee, but we can call him Mr. Big Bub. How you doing today?
I'm good, money. What's up, world? What's good?
Oh, man, just trying to make this work. How you doing?
Well, baby, I'm doing wonderful. I'm in the studio as we speak. I'm up here doing this record right now for me and the Chef Raekwon and CeeLo Green. But I had to stop, you know what I'm saying, take a pause and do this interview with you guys. What's good?
Well, I mean, tell us what you have going on these days. You know, I mean, you know me as a friend, but I'm also a fan. You know, I mean, you are one of the have one of the strongest and most powerful voices I've ever heard. And, you know, you're just one of my favorite people. So what's going on in Big Bob's world?
Well, I'm working with Ice Water Records with Raekwon. Salute. The tour started in Canada. The Unexpected Victory Tour is going on. Me and him doing a Best of Both Worlds album. We're working with, you know, CeeLo, Jill Scott, we're going at everybody. Everybody's coming at us. We're going at them. We're just showing everybody this love, you know. That's all we're doing, working, baby, working. As soon as I get to New York, I'm going to see Diddy. I got some records for him, too. I already rap with him.
Tell people what you've been up to, you know, some of the projects that you worked on, some of the behind-the-scenes things you've done.
Okay, Bobby Brown, My Prerogative. I wrote half of Mary J. Blige's My Life album. I work with Blackstreet. I work with the Fine Young Cannibals, the Jacksons, you name it. Boy George, Tony Bennett's, you know.
Tony Bennett? What was that like, working with Tony Bennett?
Yeah,
I mean, you definitely have the chops to roll with Tony Bennett for sure. So, yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you, baby.
An interesting mix. You know what? I think this might be a good time to maybe segue into one of your records, one of my favorite records. But you know what? I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, where the record came from. You know, the inspiration. And where did you get the inspiration for Telling Me Stories? Because
at that time, you know, that crack and that free base and that heroin was coming back really, really strong back into our communities. So I didn't want to come out with a love ballad, like, you know, sexual record and all that stuff. So I just took a chance, and Sylvia Rhone said, yo, let's drop it. And, you know, I just dropped the record because a lot of sisters and brothers was really strung out on drugs at the time. And I said, yo, let's drop a record about, you know, what's going on in the world. You know I can make hit records. That's not the problem. But I'm just going to take a chance and just get the message out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it just was, it's a deep record, and you know, it just was one of those records that you just said, "Wow, did he really just make a record like that?" And you know, it's just, let's just play the record, Clark. Cue the record. We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna talk a little. Telling me stories.
All right, cool, because I got a part two to that, baby. Oh, you're going to dig that.
Okay, okay. Well, we're going to be looking forward to that. So let's take a break now and listen to Telling Me Stories, and we'll be right back with Big Bub on The Conversation.
What you seem to be telling me all story. Oh yeah, why do you lie that goes both ways? I try to talk to you so we can compromise, but you keep on telling me no.
Okay, and we are back on The Conversation. And listen, if you want to call in and talk to Big Bub, you can do that by dialing 917-932-1078. And make sure you hit the number one key so we can see your hand raised. And you can talk to and ask your questions to Mr. Big Bub.
Oh!
Listen, I'm in ATL right now with Blue Rocks, 88, Kristen, yes, our manager, my man Tommy Nova. We're in the studio right now making that fire. What are you doing?
I'm waiting for you to release that fire.
Ooh, that's what I'm talking about, baby. You feel it tickling your ears, baby? Tell the world, baby, I'm back.
I want to know about this telling me stories part two, and I'm sure listeners do.
You know what? I gave that to the world for free. You can go on YouTube and Google that and pull that up and play that on your show.
Okay, okay. I definitely will do that. Now,
And I'm staying in Buckhead, and I want everybody to meet me at Truffles Grill for wasabi wonton salad.
Okay, where is that again?
Yeah, on Lenox Road. Go try the food over there, the Truffles Grill in Buckhead.
Are they supposed to come right now, or when are they supposed to meet you?
In an hour.
Okay, okay. Is dinner on you?
No, it's on me and you.
Then
so
I'm not coming.
You better have your 500. Listen, 1,000, you better have your 500.
Now, okay, I got a couple people in the chat room wanting to know if you could hit a little something live for the folks.
Oh, you want me to sing live? Let me see if I can sing live a little bit, because I'm kind of hoarse. Let me see. Girl, I am digging you, you're digging me. Let's make this happen. The things I want to do to you, your mind just can't imagine. I'm on another level. Oh, yeah, I know you're feeling that all through your ears, all through the airwaves, early.
I remember that record. I remember that record.
That was with Heavy D and Queen Latifah.
That was a smash.
That was a smash, baby. Heavy D and Queen Latifah.
You don't remember that? You guys are about to
be. Since you sang that record, you kind of segued into another question that I wanted to ask you.
And what's that question?
You were signed to Flavor Unit for a while, and I want to know.
No, hold on. Let's rephrase that. We did a joint venture.
Oh, okay. You did a joint venture with Flavor Unit.
If she put up $500,000, that means I put up $500,000.
Okay, okay. Now the question I want to ask is working on that record and working with Hav, and I know you did a couple things with Hav. What kind of impact did he have on you as an artist?
Oh my God, he made it possible for big guys to be sexy and be able to move and be a sex symbol. He did that for me.
I remember them videos. Ooh, do you really want him? Do you really want me? And you just, I'm like,
right.
Big dudes is moving.
And they loved it, baby. I shook the world, a fat phenomenon. I shook the world. You was there.
Well,
you witnessed it, baby.
I know I was there, but you know it's amazing. That was amazing for us back in the day, because it was always, you know, the big dudes was just the one hanging up the wall, and to get a big dude out there that could rock with you, then all of a sudden he became
big. Rock. I'm with Blue Rock. Yeah.
But you know what? I want to segue into one of my favorite songs that you sang. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. And for me, I'm very critical when, you know, people do remakes of records, especially classic records. But you wrecked it. So, I mean, there's nothing that I could say, about it. I loved it. So I think we're going to get into a little bit of Zoom.
Big shout out to hold up, baby. Big shout out to Lionel Richie, because when I remade that record, he was like, "Yo, job well done." So yeah,
right, and
I'm sure
that's a good feeling, you know, when you do a remake, to have the the actual originator of the song come and give you the accolades.
Hello.
Yeah, say it again.
I said, I'm sure that it feels really good for you when you do a remake to have, you know, the originator of that record come to you and tell you that they're happy with what you've done.
Oh, yeah, it's a blessing. That's nothing but God, babe. You know, all his talent, all his gift is him. You know what I'm saying? It's all him. And I just thank God for a beautiful career. You know, even though I wasn't putting out a lot of records like I was supposed to, but I was behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying, behind a lot of big records behind the scenes, you know. So I'm thankful. I'm just grateful.
All right. Back in a minute.
Okay. So we good?
Thank you.
this is why I love you.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate you.
You know what it is. I mean, you're one of the incredible ones, you know?
I'm gonna share
the little voicemail story with everybody. I don't know, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, a mutual friend of ours called your phone and left you a voicemail, but asked me to sing in the voicemail. He never told you who it was on the line. And then here we are talking on the phone, and you're like, "That was you? That was you?"
I was like, "Yo, who was that singing on my voicemail like that?" It sounded pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Like, it was just some, you know, fluke thing. We, you know, being silly and whatnot, you know, but it's funny. Like, it was just funny that you're like, "That was you?"
For real.
But tell us, you know, if you got any shout outs you want to give out to any websites.
Oh, yeah. I want to give a shout out to Blue Rocks. My man Blue Rocks, I'm down here in ATL right now. Big shout out to my man 88 over there. Is he there? He's there. Okay, big shout out to Ice Water Records, Ray Kwan. My boys, Quantum Beats, AJ, Arius James, Mantees. This is crazy. Big shout out to the world, baby. We're back.
And when can we look for some new music from you?
What's up, huh?
What'd you say?
Say it again, baby.
I said, when can we look for some new music from you?
You can go on Google right now and get three features with Raekwon right now. One is called I Do. One is called Apologize. The third one is We Ride Together. So go on Google right now and get and link up on that right there.
Okay. All right. And thank you for coming on the show. And I mean, you know, as always, it's a pleasure. And any last words for Mr. Big Bug you want to say to people?
I love y'all. Thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. Oh, it's been a beautiful journey. Peace.
Amen. Mr. Big Bug, Freddie Lee was in the house.
That's what the check say, baby. If it says something else, it ain't mine.
This is your co-host, The Conversation, Ms. Gail Harris. Don't talk to me today. And thank you for this. And thank you for making this for other women.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to welcome everybody to the show once again. And I got my maze. Thank you in the background, because I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. So I appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to tune in and listen to what I got to say. Very, very important, powerful stuff today. Got a very special guest on today with a lot of great information. So I want to welcome you to the conversation and my segment From the Basement to the Boardroom. You know what? We're going to give you a lot of great information. And also, I want to thank everybody who came out with us last night, who came out to the comedy show. And also, after party, we did it big over at Indigo Lounge. So thank everybody for coming out and celebrating with me with my 28-year celebration in Atlanta. So it was phenomenal. So I thank y'all. We had a great time, great laughs, and we will be doing it again soon. So, you know, definitely stay tuned. Hit me up on Facebook if you're not already a friend. So we're gonna do some great things in 2012. So I'm looking forward to having everybody come aboard and making this a great year. As I stated in the email, text, Facebooks I sent out, you know, we're going to talk about some of the tax scams that's going on right now. You know, we're gonna talk about some of those things, because right now the IRS put a list out of the Dirty Dozen tax scams. Now, we're not going to touch on all of them, but we're going to touch on some of the ones that's a little bit more prevalent right now. Right now, which is, it's incredible. You know, I've been in this tax industry for about 15 years now, and I've never seen the amount of identity theft, identity fraud that I've seen in this 1 year. So it's been amazing how many people we've gotten, not just from, you know, our company, but from companies and individuals across the country I've been talking to that have been getting claimed, and their Social Security number has been used by other tax companies. You know, and that's phenomenal, and it's just, unbelievable in the sense that this is happening so regularly now. And I'm not sure where they're getting these socials from, and they're getting individual socials from. I know it's a lot of internet activity goes on, but one of the things that's stated is that it's in the preparer's office. You know, so one of the things that I do ask you to do is make sure that you use somebody reputable. If you're getting your taxes done, use a professional company, somebody that's extremely reputable, because right now people are stealing your Social Security numbers, and they're selling it or giving it to friends, or they're using it in-house and finding ways to make money from it. So that's the number one tax scam right now that's going on, is identity theft and using individual Social Security numbers. And IRS still haven't put a hand on it. So, you know, do your part, do your due diligence, make sure that you're dealing with reputable companies to prevent this, because it can be a headache, and it's somewhat of a struggle to get your money back, money that you rightfully have a right to. So, you know, definitely, definitely make sure that you stay on top of that. The second thing is probably return fraud from your preparer. You know, you got a lot of preparers out here that's doing a lot of unscrupulous things. And probably the number one thing is charging inflated fees and taking more out of your refund. You know, so be cautious of that. Be cautious of overinflated fees. And what they're doing is they're guaranteeing and, you know, basically promising refunds. If anybody can tell you without knowing your situation, without talking to you, that they can get you a refund, or they can get you a refund for a certain amount, run. Run very fast. Believe me, because you're dealing with some headaches in the long run. You know, because a professional can't make that promise. You know, we're good at what we do, but we can't make that promise to you without knowing what your situation is. So if somebody's promising you that, oh, believe me, you want to stay far away from that person, because in the long run, you will have major problems. And I'm seeing a lot of that going on right now. We've been blessed, you know, to get a lot of referrals from our clients that's been with us. And, you know, blessed, it's a gift and a curse in a sense. It's a gift in the sense that these people have enough faith in us to come to get their stuff corrected. The curse is that when they come to us, a lot of times they come to us with the headache of trying to get this fixed. And once again, it's a tedious process. You know, so as far as the identity theft, the same with your preparer. Make sure that you're dealing with a reputable person. The days of dealing with the bootlegs and dealing with anybody who said they can, you know, do it for cheap or get your money back, those days are gone. The IRS are making some provisions now to make preparers be more accountable. So make sure that your preparer have all of the credentials that they need. And, you know, talk to a friend. Talk to somebody that's dealing with individuals you know that they've been working with for years. That's probably the easiest way. The third thing that you want to be mindful of is definitely the free money, all of the free money advertisements. You know, that in itself is, if you know, we always leery when we hear the word free anyway. You know, but from a tax standpoint, when you see these internet emails, you see these websites saying, go here, you know, put in your social, you know, put in your name, put in your address, you know, you can possibly get some free money from the IRS. A lot of times they prey on older people, you know. So now if you have parents, you know, definitely, you know, watch, be careful with your parents these days, because individuals who are getting Social Security and older individuals, that's who they're preying on. They're preying that they can get them more money into a retirement, that they can double, you know, their Social Security if they just give them their Social Security number. So be mindful of those things because it's happening a lot. I know I hit you with a lot in just in a little bit of time, but if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 917-932-1078 and press 1. It's 917-932-1078 and hit 1. And like I said, I'd love to address any questions or concerns, because I'm pretty sure there's some people out there that have already fell victim to some of these things. And my goal is definitely, you know, to help you, you know, be proactive in this. And if it's already happened, then we're going to find a way to get it corrected, because, you know, you can't do it alone. You need people in my capacity, professionals in the industry, to definitely help you get this moved along a lot faster. One of the fourth thing that you might want to consider is false and inflated expenses and income. Now, I don't have to tell a lot of y'all what this means, because, you know, it's extremely prevalent right now. You know, and when I say false or inflated income, basically what we're saying is, and what the IRS is saying is, that you're probably creating a business. You're creating a business to get the earned income credit, in which you paid no money into the system, you had no other employment, and you're going to either take the existing business you had and pad numbers or subtract numbers to get a bigger refund, or you're going to just create a business, which is probably the number one falsified area in the tax industry. And right now, it used to be where when you did this, the IRS would send you the money and then later send you a letter stating that you need to claim these, I mean, you need to verify these expenses, verify this income. But what they're doing now, they're not sending the money. They're going to hold the money, and then they're going to send a letter saying you need to verify that the dependent was yours, that you had all right to claim them, show us your receipts, you know, show us your income, show us your books that you've been keeping, because it's really a situation now. The government is hurting. The government does not basically have the money that they had before, so they're mindful of a lot of things. And even though you think you're the little person, believe me, they're going after the little people, the big people, the small fish, little fish, everybody, because they need the money right now. So this is a segment of taxes basically that they're focusing on a lot more, which if you're getting earned income credit and you have a business, just be mindful to keep up with every receipt. And once again, if you're not dealing with a reputable company, check your paperwork, because it's amazing how many people we get to come to our office when we review their papers. They didn't even realize that the preparer had given them a business or added up a certain amount of money to make their returns much bigger, you know, to help them out, you know, with in the long run, they're putting them in harm's way. You know, so basically make your life easier, make our job easier, review your return, ask questions, and always feel free, you know, to call us at L&B Tax Service. You can go to our website at www.lbtaxservice to get the phone numbers to any of our locations. You know, we'll be more than happy to address any questions. As I stated, we're not going to touch on all of them, and we're probably going to hit this last one, which is the abuse of charitable organization and deductions. And that's probably been one of the biggest scams for the longest of times with the IRS. And abuse of charitable organizations and deductions, primarily it's overstating your charitable donations to Goodwill, to Salvation Army. The thing about it is now a lot of those companies, and people ask us all the time, well, why do they give us these statements and they're blank? They give those blank statements because they'll let you determine the value of the items that you gave, because they're not sure. Most of the time it's in the box, it's in the bag, so they're not sure what it is. Now, they want you to be realistic in what you donate. Now, I know you paid $80 for that blouse you paid, which is, it was a nice blouse at the time you bought it. But now that you're donating it, that blouse is probably about $5. And if you have a bag of those, it's probably a bag of $5 and $3 items. You know, so it's not going to be the same as you bought it. And I know it has a lot of sentimental value to you. You know, you got it when you met your first boyfriend, or that was your husband now. You know, you met him, he was just a friend. All those things, IRS don't care about none of that. They basically want you to be realistic in your assessment of the things you donate. And what's happening now is that people are overstating those, and not the individuals, it's the preparer a lot of times that's basically giving a much bigger value to help. And that's between your church tithe, that's between your donations to charitable. And please, let's quest something up right now and get an understanding. Just because you gave your cousin some money or some clothes, that does not consider to be a charitable donation. So if that was the case, believe me, everybody would probably fall under that same category. So it is not, don't let nobody tell you no different, as if we got someone that come in and told us that the other day that, you know, they lent out to family and somebody told them that was charity. Yes, family is charity most of the time, but not from a tax standpoint. So just be mindful of the money you give and who you give it to, the different organizations. You know, so those things are very, very important to know, because the IRS are making a lot of provisions now to start cracking down and doing a lot more audits. It's a few more on there, but what we'll do is give us a call. Give us a call to go to our website, visit our website, and we'll have that information out there for you so you can see the rest of them. But that's probably the five most pressing ones right now. That's what we see that most individuals fall victim to, are the five that we named. All right, if you have any questions, give us a call at 917-932-1078 and hit the number 1. That's 917-932-1078. All right, like I said, I have an individual, I can't even express, you know, the gratitude and the admiration I have for this guy. We've been working together for probably about 10 years or longer now. He's a friend of mine. He's my IT expert. He's a client. He's a business partner, and he's an innovator and an author. You know, this guy got it going on, and that's the type of people I want to partner myself with. You know, and let me bring to the show Mr. Eric Brown.
How's it going, Brian? Thank you so much.
Hey, Mr. Brown, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you, sir? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, thank you for being a part of the show. I appreciate you accepting. And one of the things we want to get right into, man, is you know, the innovator part. When I said he's an innovator, a lot of you guys have heard me talk about, some of y'all have seen Wisecast TV. This is the creator and the brains behind Wisecast TV, which is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing that's going on right now. And what I want Eric to do basically is tell you a little bit about what is Wisecast TV.
Well, I think part of what we probably want to do here is just say really quickly what it's not. It's not an online, you know, point and click video on demand website. It really is broadcast television. We've been able to manage to create a system that allows us to broadcast TV in a multi-channel situation where you can have channels 1 through 900 and have different programming, a programming guide, and actually have a television experience on your computer, on a tablet, on your laptop, or even on your television. And it really is a unique system that we pulled together here to try to get back to the old-fashioned style of television where you could turn the TV on and get right to some good movies, films, and shows where you have more independent, you know, original programming versus all of the cookie-cutter stuff that we're seeing out right now. So in a nutshell, that's really what it is.
So you're basically saying I won't be able to watch Flavor Flav.
Well, as much as I'm sure we all like watching Flavor Flav, we really are focusing in on, you know, upcoming emerging directors, independent content producers and movie filmmakers, entertainers, independent unsigned artists. That's the mix of programming that we want to highlight and bring to viewers, not just here in America, but across the world. And I think we're doing it in a way that is very simple. It's not pricey. There's no monthly fee. And I think we're really making it a lot easier for people to get access to good television. That's not necessarily always Flavor Flav.
All right. And so what inspired this concept?
Maybe Flavor Flav, I'm not sure, but I think what inspired it is I'm a fan of television. I know that you are, of theater, of movies, and I think we all have a sense of right now in television we see a lot of the same things, the reality TV shows, the cookie cutter stuff, and we know we run into, as we travel, we run into so many people who are artists at heart, who are struggling to get an audience, who can't get the attention of Hollywood because they don't have the right connections, who can't get a big deal on network television, but they have really good content that's already prepared, that they've been, you know, putting their blood, sweat, and tears into, and they just don't have an outlet to be able to bring that to people. And I think that more than anything is what inspired us to look at this project, really work on it, start building it. And this has been an ongoing thing, as you know, Brian. I mean, we've been at building the actual broadcasting core that does all the hard work. We've been working on that for probably about 10 years now, and just been able to pull it all together and get all the right resources in place. And it's a dynamic system. Everyone who gets the opportunity to demo it and experience it, they get it right away. You know, we don't have to do a lot of explaining. They understand the gaps in television right now and what we're kind of offering for content providers, for the viewers, and for small businesses who are kind of neglected right now in terms of television advertisements, just because the price range for, you know, Comcast and the big guys are just, you know, it's just out of their reach right now.
Okay. Yeah, and I've been blessed to basically, you know, look at Wisecast pretty thoroughly. And one of the things I love about it as well, when you just talked about what inspired the concept, I like the fact that, and I not that people didn't got rid of cable, because financially there's millions of people that got rid of cable because of finances. They can't afford to pay high cable bills. And I love the fact that this actually can work as an alternative to traditional cable, but not have the same fees. And it still gives them an outlet to have cable, because people still want the luxuries of cable. They just don't want the fees associated with it. So I love that aspect of it as well, that it's given individuals who has gotten rid of their cable, you know, an opportunity to be back in the playing field.
Go ahead. No, I was just
going to
say, you're spot on, and we kind of know our target. We may not be able to win over all of the cable customers, but we know there's a market out there that's just not being served right now. A lot of those folks are turning off their cable due to finances and things of that nature, so you're absolutely right there.
All right. Now, you're going to have people, you know, from two different spectrums. You're going to have the people say, well, I want something totally different from traditional cable. And you're going to have the ones that used to seeing what they see, or like what they like, and they're going to want to know what's the same about Wisecast as opposed to traditional cable. So in a couple of words, what's different about Wisecast from traditional cable?
In a couple of words, I would say nothing. You know, probably the price tag. I think at the end of the day, people want good entertainment. You really have no choice whatsoever in terms of what shows will be coming on this season. I've never met anyone with a Nielsen's ratings box or even know anyone who has one. And so we get basically the show cards that are dealt to us, and we either like or don't like the show. We have an opportunity here to give new filmmakers and television show producers the opportunity to present their new shows that are going to be just as good as what you see on TV right now. It's just going to come in a different format, and it's going to come a heck of a lot cheaper. And I think that really is the difference, is that we are giving access to independent content and good entertainment to individuals right now who may either be stuck on one of those government boxes and can't get a signal, you know, now that we've switched over from analog to digital television, or who are coming off of cable and satellite pay TV just because they can't afford it anymore. You're still going to get a great experience with Wisecast Television. Like I say, in a nutshell, it's not going to be as expensive.
Okay. And what's pretty much making it the same? What similarities does it have as traditional cable?
The television experience. I mean, we've got a complete digital programming guide. We have built-in DVR that comes with this thing, whether you're just using the software on your PC or the hard flicker box or one of the new tablets that we're coming out with. All of these features come standard. The information about the shows are there, the opportunity to rate and give your input about shows, which is a big difference between us and TV right now. The best thing you can do when you're watching regular TV is just go out to the internet and maybe blog about it, but here you'll have some interactive options where you can give your opinion and actually influence what kind of shows and television we'll be watching. So I think that's really the same as the television experience and the movie experience. We've got heart pumping sound. We've got great visual. Even if you're not on the fastest internet in the world, you still get a great experience. And we offer a high definition on programming as well. So I think that's what people are going to like, is being able to get that type of value without having to pay so much for television. And keep in mind, Brian, we didn't used to pay this much for television. You know, now we're up to, and I see people who are paying $150, $250 a month, and they maybe watch three or four channels. And so we want to try to make that change and give people an alternative to traditional pay TV.
All right, man, I wish I could say that I watch three or four channels as opposed to maybe two channels. So I'm probably one of them people that's falling victim to the $200 monthly fees for two channels, you know. So I feel you on this. That's why I'm excited. All right. What I want to do is play a little word association with you in regards to Wisecast.
Okay.
If there was a situation where, you know, and we're running kind of short on time, so we may just want to go through this quickly. And I'm going to throw some words out, and you just tell me how I can benefit, you know, if I have music. Music is the word.
There are two things here. If you are an independent artist, Emerge TV, that's the way you want to go. It's a small fee, but you get great exposure. You get reviewed by a professional panel, and some of these folks have won Grammys. Gives you great exposure. If you're a big artist already, you know, we're already tuned in to ASCAP and the professional organizations, so you can get paid that way. So either way, you can come on, get your content rolling, and either get exposure or monetize it.
All right. So if nobody get a chance to hear my music, I can put it on Wisecast and be heard by hundreds of thousands of people.
Absolutely, and before long, millions of people. You know, a lot of people are interested in our platform, so we're moving this thing forward. Yes, sir.
All right. Movies.
If you're a filmmaker and you have independent films, we have two options. Clips is one of them. We're going to be doing the world's first broadcast independent film festival. Gives you opportunity for us to showcase your film up until the festival later on this year. And then we're going to pick from the cream of the crop, get them out to a fancy event out in either Vegas or Los Angeles, kind of like what a lot of people saw with the event in Radio City out in California. And we're going to pick the best and award them and put some cash in their pocket and give them an opportunity to show up on one of our channels. So that's a great opportunity there. And then we're always looking for chances to take someone's film put it on one of the channels, put it in our pay-per-view platform, and help individuals get some value out of films that are just kind of sitting on the shelf right now so that they can put it out, grow their fan base, and actually monetize this particular film and get some money in their pocket.
Man, that's on a whole nother level. That's on a whole nother level, man. You're talking about financing people's film? Yeah, that's unbelievable. The other thing is business. That's something I'm very passionate about. I've been trying to help businesses get exposure. If I had a business, what can we do with that?
One thing that is very true is 30-second commercials on television are there for a reason, because if a business could get one, they would have it. There's no question about it. If they've got the option in terms of going in front of a newspaper versus getting their commercial on there where they can sell themselves almost in person in front of a wide viewing audience, that's where they want to be. Unfortunately, right now, there's a whole market of small businesses to medium businesses that just cannot afford the expense of slots for commercials. Some of these slots, depending upon time of day, could be thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions of dollars just to get in a local market. We offer commercials that can span all 43,000 zip codes. And because we built our own network, we built our own advertisement system, we control the pricing. There are no four or five different middlemen in place. Small businesses and medium businesses have the opportunity to get their commercials on and get in front of a lot of people that they just wouldn't ordinarily reach with some of the traditional advertisements. And we're coming in cheaper than getting in a local magazine or something like that. So I think there's a lot of great opportunity there. And we're hoping businesses will take advantage of the advertisements that we have to offer. And we're making it easy. Even if you don't have a commercial, we can get a commercial created for you right here in-house for a very low cost. And so we're trying to make sure that we give small businesses the edge in this tough economy right now. And I think it'll be effective for a lot of small businesses.
All right, man, that's what I'm talking about. You know, like I said, once again, I'm extremely passionate about helping businesses, helping them get exposure. So I'm a strong on you. I'm a strong on you right now. You know, I'm a strong because I'm a host and I can do that. And I'm going to say that if any businesses out there, if they have a business that's listening right now, you know somebody that have a business, we're going to get you 30 days free advertising on Wisecast. And I've seen it. There's banner ads. You know, there's ads on the load-up screen. We're going to get you 30 days free advertising. So all you got to do is hit me on Facebook, email me, text me, call me, and I'm going to make this happen. And Mr. Brown's going to work with me on this.
Not only just real quick, Brian, I'll work with you on that, and we'll work on giving a lot of Wisecast software away to your listeners and people that you connect with so that they can experience it before the content lineup comes on and enjoy it for free. So I'll work with you on both those fronts.
All right, very quickly, man. I know we got to go very quickly. How can they find out a little bit more about Wisecast, and how can they get a free subscription?
Just go to our website, www.wisecasttv, and that's WISECAST.TV. Don't go to .com. Make sure you're going to wisecast.tv. And once you add Wisecast to your cart, you can do a couple of things. You can either use the promo code that's FREEMYTV, FREEMYTV. Or we're going to set up this evening a special code for the tax man, which will be LB tax. LB as in Brian and tax, TAX. Either one of those codes will get you onto Wisecast 100% free, no obligation, no setup, no anything. You install it, check it out. If you like it, let us know. If you don't, you don't have to keep using it. If you have trouble, we can help you get it set up and installed. So we'll make it real easy for everybody.
All right, man. Once again, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, Eric, for coming on, giving us that information, giving us free subscription and free advertising, and the box for the TV is coming soon. So, man, I appreciate you. We'll have another segment on that portion of it, but I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the information, man. It's a phenomenal tool, and I'm looking forward to do great, great things, man.
Thank you so much for having me, sir. It's a pleasure.
All right. Everyone, that is our time for today. I appreciate you coming in, tuning in with us today. Hopefully you got some great information. Once again, we out.
Fine, man. Look at the. Oh, she did too fine. She knows she fine, too.
She is banging.
Oh, she's off the hook.
She looks good. You're right.
I bet you can't nobody get that girl.
Chris, I can get her.
Can't get that girl. Mike, I guarantee you can't get that girl.
Watch me get that girl.
I bet you never, Neverland, you can't.
I can get her.
All right, come on in. Come on!
Watch.
Stay with me, I feel my dream, and I'll be all you need.